In the name of Jesus, you've gathered us here tonight, in this place and this time, just to worship you and to give you all glory, God. Thank you for the hearts that you've gathered here and for those that aren't present at this time that may listen to this message. God, we just know that your word works effectually. It always has, it always does, it always will. We thank you, God, that you've prepared a rich feast for us. And Lord, just open every heart to fully receive from you. We thank you for your grace and mercy upon your people, God. We just ask that the Holy Spirit is just free to rule and reign at this time, this night. We ask that your word go forth freely, unhindered. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So thankful to him for his grace and mercy. And I was really touched and blessed this morning, thinking about when Bob played about Rebecca. We're going to talk about Rebecca and Isaac tonight. And then Joe was mentioning Rebecca this morning. So praise the Lord. His spirit is just one of unity. And praise him and thank him for that. Let's go tonight to the third letter of John. Third John. It's way back by Revelation. And we know, we've been studying John's gospel on Wednesday night. This is the same John that wrote three letters and also wrote the book of Revelation. So I believe the Lord has some sweet things for us to glean here in his third letter. So 3 John, I'll start in verse 1, read the first four verses. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And what a precious portion that is. We're going to focus tonight on verse 2. Just wanted to read 1 through 4, kind of for context. About the entirety, all of these verses will have something to do with what the Lord put on my heart for verse 2, specifically, is that word prosper. And I know a lot of times this particular passage, in a natural sense, people get the prosperity gospel out of this. Meaning, if you're in good favor with God, you're going to have a lot of wealth and everything's going to be great. We kind of know that's not exactly. I'm not saying godly people can't be wealthy. But being in favor with God doesn't mean material prospering, necessarily. It can, but this isn't that gospel. What we're going to talk about tonight, and we know material wealth is temporal. Think about it. It just is. But we're going to talk about eternal things. The eternal wealth, the true meaning of God's will for man in prospering him. And when you think about it, God is building in his people those things that will endure forever. God is not building temporal things in us. He's building his son. He's building a bride for his son that'll eternally rule and reign with him. He's building Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what he's doing. That's his intent. That's his prospering in us. So when you think about it here, John is in the four living ones, the type of the soaring eagle, the one that had the vantage point, the one that was soaring above, the one that let the storm winds raise him up. So we're going to think about all these things tonight as we go through this. I think it's interesting, just going back into verse 1, it says the elder. John was older when he wrote this, and he was not only physically of older age, but spiritually mature. Also, this is a mature saint writing specifically unto a person here, unto the well-beloved Gaius. And I love it. It's well beloved, meaning dearly cherished, highly treasured. This was a precious saint to him. And then the name Gaius means a rejoicer. So this was one full of rejoicing. Dearly beloved by John. And how wonderful. And then, just touching on 3 and 4, John says, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, in this Gaius, the rejoicer, even as thou walkest in the truth. And then he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So the title of this message is The Prosperous Path. And we're going to talk about, we have right here, walking in the truth. We have it a couple of times there in 3 and 4. We have this prosper. And when you think about the path that God's laid out, it's the journey of your life. Basically from salvation to however we finish. And I know it's on your heart, it's on mine, to finish with full joy. To finish with the crown. We know that was what Paul wrote in all of his epistles to us in this age. So we're going to talk about this prosperous path. And as I've already alluded to, let's go back. I think it was precious how in Genesis 24, this is the first time the word prosper occurs in the Word of God. It's in Genesis 24. So we'll go there and go to verse 40. Now, we know that this story is the story of Abraham sending a servant to find a bride for his son. And we know the type here. We have Abraham as God the Father. We have the servant as the Holy Spirit. Rebecca's the bride. Isaac's Jesus. So, at this point in time, by the time we get to verse 40 in Genesis 24, basically, the servant has arrived at Rebekah's home and has sat down to eat with her family and is telling them of what the master had told him. So he's relaying how things are unfolding in him finding a bride for the master's son. Genesis 24:40, and he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk, there's a walk, a path, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. Thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. So you see here, there's specifically a prospering of his way. It was the path that he was taking, and that path was to getting a bride for the son. When you think about it, this word prosper is precious. It means to rush, to advance, to succeed. So there's a notion of haste, of urgency in this. This wasn't a casual matter. It wasn't, well, when I get a bunch of things done, I'll think about doing this errand for my master. This prospering in this way was expedient. We think about redeeming the time. We think about hasten the day, Lord, that day, the day that he'll come to get us. And I'm excited to be urgent about that, because I believe the Lord would have us to be that way in this time. And when we even look around in the natural, we many days, you just kind of wonder, how are we still here? But by God's grace, we are. And if we are, we need to be. So I'm thankful to him for that, that we don't go a moment too soon. So then, still in Genesis 24, let's skip a few verses down to 42. To 44, continuing this story. So the servant continues to relate and says, I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way, which I go, so there's another prospering the way, behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass when the virgin come forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. So she was already appointed out. That's already done. And I think how sweet that she says to me, both you drink, and I will also draw for the camels. And we know what camels are, the type in the Word of God. The flesh, my flesh anyway, kind of shrinks when people say, you got to ride your camel. I'm like, okay. But they're a blessing in a way, because this is how there's an effectual working in things. They're necessary. And so Rebecca, this one for Isaac, for the son, was willing to water the camels as well as to give him to drink. So praise the Lord, what types and what reality God gives us in his word. So a few other uses of prosper in the Old Testament. Just for your information, prosper occurs 48 times in the Old Testament and has 5 different definitions, which are very similar, slight differentiation in them, but they include the following: good, pleasant, agreeable, excellent, rich, of value in estimation, glad, happy, of good understanding. This is a very precious word. And so much in there, so much bridal encouragement in those definitions of this word prosper. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. We'll look at this word prosper as translated good, Genesis 1:4. And God saw the light, and it was good. It was prosperous. Right? And God divided the light from the darkness. And I think how wonderful. The first thing that was prosperous was the light. Jesus is the light. The word itself, Psalm 119, 105, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates our way. It shows us the way. It's Jesus. Praise the Lord. And when you read down through Genesis chapter 1, everything that was created was pronounced good. It's prosperous. Praise the Lord. But again, this world is temporal. How much more so the one to come? Praise the Lord. Just to even consider that. I love it. The whole earth is full of his glory, and there is glory, but there's so much more to come. What we look forward to, what the exceeding riches of his grace in the ages to come. Just it's exciting. Praise the Lord. Let's hop over to Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. And here we're going to have a good land. Here's the word good, and it's associated with land this time. Exodus 3:8. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. That verse in itself is an excellent study, but there's a couple of things here. The good land is large, it's expansive, it's flowing with milk and honey. It says, unto the place, though, of these various peoples that are in type tendencies of the flesh. So this land was a good land, but there's also some challenges there. And again, we will go through challenges, overcome them, suffer together with Christ in order to rule and reign with him. So there is overcoming in the good land, but it's a good and prosperous land. And all those tendencies of the flesh, the opportunity to overcome them, is part of the prospering and part of our path. And so thankful that God's so clear in his word. It's just clear. Then let's go over to Psalms 23, precious shepherd psalm that we know. And we're going to see the word goodness. Psalm 23, verse 6, the last verse there. Surely goodness, surely prosperity, prospering, and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love it that word follow actually means pursue. So when you think about that, goodness and mercy pursue you. Isn't that wonderful? I'd like to be pursued by that. That's Jesus. That's the wooing of God the Father, pursuing. He just wants us to respond. It's so simple. It is simple. And praise the Lord, He keeps it simple that way. Let's go back to Ezra. It's a couple of few books back, right after 2 Chronicles, a little bit obscure. Not a book that's talked about a whole lot, but there's more prospering. We're going to talk about the building of the house of God and prospering here. Ezra chapter 5 and verse 8. Ezra 5:8 says here, "Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea to the house of the great God, which is builded with great stones, and timber is laid in the walls, and this work goeth fast on and prospereth in their hands." It was a quick work, in a sense. And again, back to this notion of haste in this prospering. There's a haste to this. There's an urgency. The work of their hands was prospered. Praise the Lord. Then let's, still in Ezra, let's go over to chapter 6 and verse 14. "And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo, and they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia." There was prospering through the prophesying of the prophets. God's word is prophecy, and isn't that a prosperous thing? The word is prosperous. Praise the Lord. And again, here's this theme of building. This was a temporal structure, granted, but when you think about the building of eternity that he's doing, there's always parallels in this, always. Now, going over to the New Testament and this word prosper, it only occurs three times. It also occurs as prospered and prospereth. One of them we've talked about in 3 John, there's another in Romans, and once in 1 Corinthians. And they have the same meaning. It means to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey, to lead by a direct way, to grant a success. So here you have the notion, again, of this path, of this journey. And it was kind of interesting because even in the Old Testament, the Lord started there, and I was thinking, this path. And here it is, as I start looking into it more, especially in 3 John and in Romans, this journey here. The Greek word for prosper is comprised of two words. One means to be well off, and the other means a traveled road, a course of conduct, a manner of thinking or deciding. So it's clear that this prospering, again, is it's not a one-time event. It can be a series of events, but it's a path. It's our life. It's a lifelong journey. So let's go over to Romans chapter 1. And we'll look here at this prospering. Romans 1, I'm going to read 10 through 12. This is Paul, "making request, if by any means now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you, by the mutual faith of both you and me." And this is wonderful. And there's going to be another aspect of this that the Lord will bring out here in a few minutes in this study. But Paul, so much in here, he wanted to have a prosperous journey, and it was prosperous that he could impart something spiritual to them, a spiritual gift, so that they'll be more established in the truth, of course. And that he can be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. So we start to see this togetherness that Paul wanted. Let's go over quickly to 1 Corinthians 16, the very end of 1 Corinthians, I think the last chapter, in his letter to the Corinthians. And we know the Corinthians tended to be carnal Christians. 16 1 and 2, Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." Now this collection, it says, for the saints, in a sense this was a setting aside of some monies for the poorer ones. But the important thing, and really what the Lord quickened me here, and of course is this word prosper, it says God has prospered you. He's the one that does it. And he will at times. Well, he's such a generous giver. When you just think about God the Father gave his son a human life. In the Old Testament, many thousands, probably millions of animals were sacrificed. That was still life. But this was a human life, a son. And then Jesus said, "I must go that I can send the Holy Spirit, this one that teaches us and brings everything to our remembrance, this one that is, well, it's a type of a servant. You think in Esther, it's Haggai, the one that brought everything to Esther, that she received the crown. Such a magnificent type. But think of all the giving in God the Father and the Son. It's immense. I mean, this side of heaven, I'm sure we cannot get our heads and hearts completely around it. But we know it is immense, and it's the ultimate sacrifice that God gave his son. And so thankful to him for that. So, thinking a little bit more about paths and journeys. And you know, sometimes, we've kind of alluded to it, paths and journeys may... Sometimes they may go places we don't necessarily want to go, especially when it comes to trials. But again, this whole journey of prospering, the trials, the good, everything, if you really think about Romans 8:28, that's kind of the summing up of it. All things work together for good, for those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Such an all-encompassing verse, in a sense. It's all a totality of what God is building in us. So, thinking of the paths, let's go back in the Old Testament to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18. "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." That's such a beautiful verse. And it's ripe with the truth of wisdom and the right paths. And God will lead us in those ways and prosper our journey through this life in his Son. And what a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we know that this perfect day, it's the day of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the shining light, notice here it says, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. So there's a desire for an increase in brightness in Jesus in us. And I love that because it is Christ in us, the hope of glory, that shines brighter and brighter until all things are fulfilled. And as we yield to the Lord and his work in our life, that's definitely going to happen. I think about so many times this world is so evidently becoming darker and darker. But the more contrast there is for the light. If you ever think about light, it almost appears brighter when it's against something very dark. When you look up in the sky, especially if you're out away from the city, those stars are like pinpoints of brilliance. When you're in town, not so much, because you've kind of got a glow of things coming up from the ground. I mean, that's in the natural. But you think about spiritually, this light in us, I pray, is ever increasing. It's not in the world, but in us. I pray that it is. And God wants that in us. We are to be lights to this world. Definitely. Still in Proverbs 4, let's go back a few verses. We're going to talk about the truth of wisdom here. Verse 7 in chapter 4 of Proverbs, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Isn't that beautiful? Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. And that is exactly what this word will do. It's life-giving. It's path-directing. It's the way of wisdom. It teaches us all things through the Holy Ghost. So thankful for that. So, we go back to Paul. Let's go to Ephesians. Thinking of this prosperous journey that Paul desired. And again, this bringing together in Christ. Ephesians 4. I'm going to read 1 through 3 to start this. And we're going to be here in Ephesians for a little bit. Ephesians 4, 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Let's go over to 13 in chapter 4. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. So in verse 3 we had unity of the Spirit. Now in 13 we have unity of the faith. A lot of unity. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And I think it's precious. Note in particular, it's the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God that Paul is speaking of. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans 10:17. So when we truly hear the word God, as in and listen attentively to it, our most holy faith is built up. That's what the word does. We're edified by the word as Jesus himself gives us strength for the day. This word will give you strength. It will. And we all need that. We always say, Lord, you know, you increase, I decrease. We want to decrease in us. But this word will build us up. Then, continuing on in Ephesians 4, 14 through 16, some of the most precious, I think, portion of the word of God, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. And going back to 3 John, he loved that the children walked in truth. And this is truth and love. Paul's pushing it specifically, truth and love. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And here's the effectual working. Praise the Lord. That was in the prayer right before, talking about the effectual working in the measure of every single part of the body of Christ. There's nothing left out. This effectual working is the same working of God's mighty power Paul wrote about in Ephesians 1, 19 to 23. It's the working by which Paul was made a minister to bring the mystery of Christ to the Gentiles, which before had been hidden from men. Ephesians 3, 7 says, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. And this is the effectual working that is exactly Christ in us. Philippians 3:21 says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Can you imagine that? We're going to see that someday. Be a part of it. I pray a very intimate part of it. So the result is an eternally prosperous increase in edification of the body, all in love. Truth and love, walking in truth, walking in love. This is the pattern for us now. So in closing, let's go over to Psalms 133. And I love how the Lord just, he ties everything together in such an incredible way. Psalm 133, this is David writing of the unity of God's effectual working. David was way before Paul. Same spirit, same unity. 133:1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That good is prosper. It's one of the words. So behold how prosperous and how pleasant. Pleasant is delightful, lovely, sweet smelling. Isn't that wonderful? That it is for the brethren to dwell together. And we know that dwelling means settling down in marriage fellowship. It's not a casual sit together for a casual something. This is an intimacy that God has for us. And how sweet smelling and delightful it is to settle down in that. This is what the love of God, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, will work in a life. This is God's ultimate will for our lives, and it's a prosperous and effectual working. It's the path that he's set out for us. It's God's will and desire for us to apprehend Jesus as bridegroom fully, shining more and more right now and brighter until the perfect day. So, amen. Pray that that's been a blessing. And God does, thankfully, so prosper our path in him, in Jesus. All right, thank you. Let's stand and be dismissed.